Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Great to be with you on this Friday. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Let's set the tone for the weekend with the Matt Cotrillo rant. And he is ready to rant his brains out of the day.
Well, it was a good night for Pennsylvania hoops. Penn State with a big win. Sixers with a nice comeback win last night against Memphis. But this is where I get my beef from. And it's a slight beef. Because I'm not one to talk any sort of trash against the great Kevin Harlan, who called a terrific game last night on TNT for the Sixers game with Reggie Miller. But I don't know. It just seemed like maybe this is me drinking the Sixers Kool-Aid. I'll firmly admit that if it sounds like that and if that's the case. But it just seems the fact like the national media is just understanding now what Joel Embiid brings to the table. I mean, what he did in the final couple minutes of that game to get the Sixers back in with the block and then had the game-winning assist, had a couple other big buckets after he was slow in the first half. I'm just like, they're acting like they've never seen this before. Like, yeah, he's capable of doing this. We've seen it happen before. He did it in a big spot last night, which made it exciting, and he called it the right way. But at the same time, I'm like, this is more Reggie Miller than Kevin Harlan. He's like, this is what we're watching. This is what we're talking. Yeah, we've been saying that for how long now? And you're too busy looking at the guy in Denver or Giannis. Like, yeah, he's been doing this all along. You know, this is not breaking news. I don't know.
Why do you care about this stuff? I don't understand. Who cares? And I mean that's a serious question. That's not me kidding around now. I know I kid around a lot. But I don't understand why you even remotely care about this.
Because, I mean, it's one thing about the MVP and that race and whatever. That's one thing. But you're talking about the game itself, the transcending players of the game. Those guys I mentioned, yes, are one of those players. But Joel Embiid is too, and I feel like oftentimes he's overlooked.
In what way is he overlooked? He finished third in the MVP voting last year. He's not overlooked. How's he remotely overlooked? Everybody praises all the time about his inside-out play and this. I never hear him criticized. I never hear him criticized for anything. I mean, if I'm going to be critical of him, he's not a good passer. But he hustles. He has an outside shot, plays well with his back of the basket. I mean, I hear him praised left and right.
He seems to be one of those players where, yeah, he's praised, but then when it's time to, like,
there's 450 NBA players. They deemed last year that 447 players were behind him.
I don't know. Like I said, maybe it's just me, but
I mean, I don't get what the issue is. And I mean that in all sincerity. I literally don't get what the issue is.
I just think national media just continues to ignore Joel Embiid because he's not on the Knicks or he's not on the Warriors or the Nuggets or anything like that.
Everybody says he's a great player. In fact, if anybody has a beef, it's Denver. Okay? Denver's out in the West. They have the best record in the West. In fact, we didn't talk about this yesterday, so please, there was no NBA talk at all. But I talked with Calvin Booth for a while yesterday, the GM of the Nuggets. You know, we're talking about Kerry, and we're talking about his parents. I mean, things like that, okay? So everybody understands. It was just a couple guys just talking, all right? And we talked a little bit about Penn State and how Penn State's playing. But how much do you hear about the Nuggets? I mean, period. None. You don't hear anything about the Nuggets, except for they'll talk about Jokic.
Okay? Exactly true, and that's also part of the problem.
Because in the West, all they talk about are the Lakers.
Absolutely,
a team that is not in the playoffs,
and the Warriors. Yeah. Yes.
And the Warriors, but the Warriors are the defending champions.
At least there's that. Correct.
I would hope that they are being talked about.
But they were still talking about the Warriors for the couple of years that they stunk and were in like the play-in tournament.
Right. Because all they care about, all right, this is the way ESPN operates.
Exactly.
ESPN operates with, it used to be you have to mention Jordan, Tiger Woods, LeBron James. Before it was Brett Favre, now it's Aaron Rodgers. Right? They feel that they have to mention any one of those individuals along the way.
Absolutely. So, they lead the path in all this.
Right? And so that's the issue right there. It has nothing to do with Joel Embiid. And Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller have both praised Joel Embiid left and right, left and right, left and right. You're allowed to broadcast a game. You're allowed to have emotions during the game.
Oh, yeah. I don't have a problem with emotions during the game per se. It's just this is more Reggie Miller than Kevin. This is more Miller than Kevin Harlan. I had a problem with last night.
He's allowed to react that way. He's allowed to react in the moment. And everybody's not going to agree with how he reacts in the moment, but for goodness sakes. I mean, how much more praise do you want heaped on the guy? I mean, in all sincerity. I mean, over and over and over again, how much praise do you it's the same thing over and over again. Everybody praises everything he does. All right? They've had a really good year. Fine. There's no Ben Simmons. So there's no distraction there. The biggest problem that the Sixers have is that the Celtics have been great.
Oh, yeah, and if you ask me, I don't think they have enough talent to beat the Celtics, or even the Bucks, for that matter. You know, that's a different conversation. Yeah. I'm just in terms of just bringing the game to people's homes, I just feel like he's still, like, a tad bit underrated still.
He finished third in the MVP voting last year. How underrated are you when that happens? You're not underrated. You're universally praised. He was just in the All-Star game. Universally praised.
As a backup at first, as a reserve. He wasn't a starter. Then he became a starter when somebody got hurt, when Durant got hurt.
In fact, there's a lot of talk Embiid wasn't going to play in the game because he's hurt.
Yeah, and I would have been fine with that. It's not a matter of I want to see him play. It's I want to see him get the accolade of being a starter. He didn't get the accolade of being a starter until somebody got hurt.
Well, who got
which is
hurt?
Atrocious. Durant. He replaced Kevin Durant.
Okay. Well, so what? I didn't even watch the All-Star game.
I didn't either. I just want to know
the accolade. Why do you care?
Because the accolade is one thing. This is how it's starting to trend, I think, where we don't necessarily care if athletes are named to a Pro Bowl or an All-Star game because we're necessarily not going to watch the game itself, nor do they care. But the accolade is still there. You still want the accolade because that's what eventually goes on your resume. Is you're a X amount of number of Pro Bowl. You're an X amount of number of All-Star starter. All-Star period.
This all goes, Matt, this is all in their bonus package in their contracts. That's the only part that matters to these guys. All right? You make the All-Star team, you get a bonus. Okay, nice. That's good. You also get to hang out for the weekend someplace cool. You get to hang out and be recognized with all the other stars. It doesn't matter. It matters, like, in the end of the season that you're hoisting a trophy. It matters at the end of the season you have the ability to get out of the second round.
And that's my only That's my only excuse I'll give the national media, is the Sixers haven't been able to win one yet. And if you want to go with that way, okay, fine. I can get that to some degree, because I've expressed a similar frustration. But at the same time...
He is universally praised by everybody. Look at this big man. Look how he goes out and shoots threes. Look how he plays with his back to the basket. Look how he carries this team. All the time, that's all I've heard after coming out of Kansas, being hurt for 2 years, because many thought he'd be the first overall pick, but because of the foot injuries, he fell to being the third overall pick. They waited patiently for him, and ever since he started playing, everybody has jumped on the bandwagon like, this is, in the modern game of basketball, the big man you have to have. You have to have a big man like Joel Embiid. You have to have a big man like Nikola Jokic. You have to have a big man like Luka Doncic. They all fall into the same categories, right? In terms of like how they play the game, the inside-out ability, where, in other words, a Zach Edey can't play this way. Trayce Jackson-Davis can't play this way. Right? Over and over, there's a bunch of guys that cannot play the game the way Joel Embiid can play the game. And Embiid is held up as a standard, right, as to how to do it. Giannis plays more inside, but has done just enough outside to make himself, especially the way he drives the ball, an outstanding player, one of the best in the game. But in no way, shape, or form do I get there's any beef with Joel Embiid. I've never heard him criticized.
But he hasn't won MVP.
But only one person wins MVP. Come on. You want to go back in the history of time? How many times did Ernie Banks win the MVP? Come on. I mean, you can go over and over again with all these guys that have never won the MVP in their career. So what? Okay, what does it matter? I don't think it matters at all. I mean, it really does not matter at all. Are you a great player? Can you get your team to win? Can you get your city excited about it? The MVP, that we're talking about now frosting here. We're not talking about the cake. We're talking about, to me, something that is nice. It's really nice. But you want to win. I mean, have you heard me rave on and on and on about ex-player at Penn State football being a first-team All-American? Or have I just mentioned the guy's a first-team All-American?
Right, you've mentioned it.
Yeah. I don't go on and on, oh, you're looking at me. I think it speaks for itself. And the guy and the people that vote on these things are not schmoes. They're around it all the time. I mean, they watch these players up close and on the floor all the time. I mean, a guy from the Denver Nuggets was the MVP last year? Really? And because Jamal Murray couldn't play last year, the Nuggets record was good, not great. But they still finished over 500, got to the playoffs, and he kind of carried them all the way through. He didn't have James Harden. He didn't have a couple of other guys either. I mean, to be honest with you, Embiid last year had more talent around him than Jokic did. Now, this year it's different. Jamal Murray's back. Now, Murray hasn't played since the 4th of February. But you're talking about a guy that's a great shooter, that's averaging 20 points a game. He's back with them, and notice what their record is this year. It's gone from being a team that's a playoff team to now taking the next step to being right now number one in the West. Okay. I don't see the anger in this one. This one. I mean, Reggie Miller's allowed to talk about things in the moment, isn't he? On that particular game, that particular night, that particular whatever. I mean, you can't sit there and make this a 2.5-hour tribute on TNT to Joel Embiid's greatness. There are other parts of the game. Now, if I recall in reading, because obviously I didn't see it, he blocked John Morant's shot at the end of the game, right?
Correct, yeah, and then had the game-winning assist to Tobias Harris on the go-ahead three in the final minute.
Yeah, so that's good. And, you know, guess what? He did his job. He did what they paid him to do. He's not taking a vow of poverty, you know.
No, that's true.
Okay. He's being paid a very handsome salary to do exactly what he did last night. And he has the ability to do things at a very high level. And he did it again. He is a great player. No, I've never heard anybody not say he's not a great player. Never. Have you?
No, but when it comes to then this kind of conversation, I'm going to say MVP for a lack of a better word here, then I feel like sometimes he's forgotten about. But then when we go to Kevin Durant, a guy like somebody like him, he's criticized too. I'll say that. He is criticized, and it's been heavily criticized lately. But then when it comes to talking about great players, oh, there he is starting the All-Star game over Joel Embiid. Until he got hurt, and then Embiid got the nod. Like, that's what I have a problem with.
I think that's a fan vote, isn't it?
It's mostly fan, but I think there's coaches and players in that, too.
That's a fan vote. All right, let me ask you something. How good do you think David Ortiz was in his career as a baseball player?
I thought he was one of the best ever.
How many MVPs did he win?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I think he won a couple, didn't he?
Zero.
Oh.
Okay. He won the World Series MVP. He won the American League Championship Series MVP. He never won the American League Most Valuable Player. So what? He won three World Series. Does it matter? What does it matter?
And in this case, no, because now we know he's a Hall of Famer and we know he's one of the best to ever play. I get that.
And Joel Embiid's going to Springfield, okay? Joel Embiid is already penciled into Springfield. Already. Okay? If his career ends today, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Right? Now the question is, can he get his team out of the second round? Okay? Which then, if he gets him out of the second round, then it's like, okay, now can you maybe get to the finals?
Right. I'm with you there on that one.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Now, again, the MVPs are always voted on before the last regular season game, so the playoffs have nothing to do with that. Okay? All right? Just, you worry about stuff that's irrelevant. And these people who vote take it seriously. My goodness, I vote in a bunch of stuff. I take all that stuff seriously. You know, because I know that, you know, it's going to have an effect on somebody's life as to how you vote. I got it. You know? And do you know how many interviews I've done this week about Jalen Pickett?
Oh, I'm sure a ton.
I've done a lot of them. You know, a lot of organizations have called and asked, you know, because, look, Pickett's only available to a certain amount of people. Micah Shrewsbury is available only to a certain amount of people. So I'm the one I'm the next one in the list. Okay? That's part of the job. I mean, you know how many times I've done pregame interviews with groups because James wasn't available? Okay? It's part of the job. It's no big deal. So I've talked a lot about Jalen Pickett. The same time, do you hear me on the broadcast going, "Oh, he should be the Big Ten Player of the Year"? Have I ever said that in the broadcast?
No.
Have I ever said he should be a first team All American?
No.
No. Okay. That stuff to me happens organically. They don't need me to say that. His play speaks for itself, and I can sit there and I can praise his play. He had 21 second half points last night. He had the final 14 points of the game for Penn State.
Yeah, he was incredible last night.
I mean, but that's the way he's been playing. I mean, that's the way he's been playing. I mean, he's now scored 96 points in three games. Plus, he's been dishing out assists. He's got like 19, 20 assists in the three games. You know, and he sat out. He only played 9 minutes in the first half last night because of foul trouble. So it's just not my personality. I didn't go on shows and go, Saquon Barkley should be the Heisman Trophy winner. I feel like all that stuff speaks for itself. Now, will I take time when I do these interviews to absolutely praise the people I'm around? Absolutely. Praise Barkley. Praise Micah Parsons. Praise Trace McSorley. You know, you go out of your way to do it. Praise Abdul Carter. Praise Nicholas Singleton, Katron Allen. Praise Jalen Pickett. Of course I do. But there's also a way to do it, too, where you're not way over the top and you're not being disingenuous.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. The official relaxer of Matt Catrillo.
Absolutely right.
Something's got to calm you down. I mean, really. You get so upset about stuff. I mean, my goodness. It's not like you went home and the car's on fire. What the heck? Now, that's a problem.
That would okay. Be, yes.
Joel Embiid. Right, not getting the respect you want, it's really not a problem. Water heater leaking, that's a problem.
Okay.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder!
I aggravate you, don't I?
That's a little too harsh. I wouldn't go that far.
By the way, spring training baseball is actually underway today. The Rangers lead the Royals 3-2 in the top of the third inning, and the Mariners and Padres are scoreless in the bottom of the second. Mikey Henn is a huge Mariners fan. Huge Mariners fan. Wears his Mariners hat all the time. So, should have seen his face last night when I told him. Yesterday, before the show yesterday. He had his hat on. I said, yeah, he's a good friend of mine. He's the voice of the Mariners. He goes, what? I said, yeah, Dave Sims. He goes, you know Dave Sims? I said, I've known Dave Sims for 35 years. One of the absolutely great, not only he's a great announcer, he's an even better guy. I mean, he's just a really great guy, Dave Sims. All right. Anything else? I sense that was only the beginning for you. Anything else?
Oh, no, that was it. That was the lone thing.
Are you sure?
I am sure.
I mean, I do not want you to head into the weekend with your blood pressure anything but 120 over 70.
No, we're good. And actually, my blood pressure last time I went to the doctor was 124 over 76.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it like the day after the All-Star game when no sports were being played? Or?
Believe it or not, no. It was like it was the Thursday before the Super Bowl, actually. And I was good.
Yeah, okay.
I know.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, they did mine at the doctor 3 weeks ago, and they looked over and they said, wow, you're alive. I said, that low, huh? They go, yeah, that low. I said, okay. I said, that's a good thing. All right. So, Penn State last night got into, this was an entertaining scoring game. Nobody had a lead of greater than 6 in the game. Penn State had a chance to get out of there last night and with the 6-point lead to then really expand it. And immediately Ohio State ran off 8 straight. Sometimes there are just teams, and obviously in all the seasons I've done, I have obviously seen this, where you just can't win a game. You get into a close game, you can't win it. That's Ohio State. Ohio State this season is now 1-7 in games decided by 5 points or less. 1-7. The one win was by 1 point. Right? The others, from 2 to 5 points, they're 0-7. And last night down the stretch, they could not hit a shot. In fact, Ohio State, which spent a good portion of the game at 50%, ended up over the last 10 minutes not being able to make shots. They ended up the game last night shooting only 41% in the second half and 46% for the game. Penn State was over 50%. This is a night where Miles Dredd and Andrew Funk did not score, and Penn State won the game. Cam Winter played really well last night. Seth Lundy played really well last night. Then they got nice contributions from Kanye Clary, Evan Mahaffey, when Pickett was on the bench. Pickett only played 9 first-half minutes because he got 2 fouls early in the game. And then in the second half, Pickett was Pickett. They kept picking out matchups. And this was why I asked Micah the question in the pregame show about coaching offense in the second half when it's in front of your bench. I mean, that's why I asked him the question. Because he will then look around, and he does this by feel. He'll look around and say, hey, clear out. Here's the matchup I want. So whenever Winter, whomever McNeil had, he got attacked over and over again. Clary attacked him. Winter attacked him. Anytime he was out there, he was circle number 4, it's him. The other guy that they went after was Sensabaugh. Sensabaugh is a terrific scorer. I'll tell you right now, not great stamina. He gets a lot of long breaks in a game. It's the one question I have about him. A lot of people think he's an NBA player, and you can see he has an NBA game. So please, I am not in any way, shape, or form saying he does not have an NBA game. He does. And he is, but boy, when it came time to attack him, ooh, man, they went after him last night. And I'm talking Pickett, he had wheel left, wheel right. I mean, and Sensabaugh didn't know what was happening. It really, you could see right away. That he couldn't handle him. And McNeil couldn't handle him. That was the other part. Couldn't handle him either. And that's what you do. And then there were times where, like, Thornton, who was a little bit better defender, they wanted him. It's the ability to pick out the matchup you want and then have the ability to exploit it. I'll say this. Lundy was on Sensabaugh last night a good chunk of the time. Sensabaugh is just a really good scorer. He had 20 last night. And Lundy's a really good defender. But Sensabaugh, you can see why he's one of the top freshmen in this conference. Thornton's going to be really good, too. Now, the other guys along the way, I know that the other freshmen that they played last night, a little slower in coming along. But they were able to keep up with Penn State, but then Penn State closed. And that's something where Penn State has been okay this season. They've been okay at closing. Last night they closed. And Pickett was a big reason why. He had all three of his free throws in the final couple minutes of the game. One was a three-point play. The other one was a 1-1. I mean, was there any doubt did anybody doubt him making the two free throws on the 1-1? And Dick looked at me, he says, he's not missing these. I go, no. Not the way he's playing. It's amazing. You're going to have 2 points in the first half and get 21 in the second half. He ended up with 23. And Jai at 5, not bad. But it's a night where you got 0 from Andrew Funk. In fact, Andrew did not even attempt a three-point shot last night. He was 0-2. And Miles Dredd was 0-3 last night. And you get that on the road, and you still win the game. That's great. Now, at this hour, because obviously the net standings change on a daily basis, Penn State has 4 quad one wins. They actually got 2 quad one wins last night. Did you know that? They got Ohio State, which was a quad one win. And then when Illinois beat Northwestern, they climbed back into the top 30, so that home game became a quad one win.
Ah, okay.
So now they have 4. They'll have Rutgers. Rutgers actually would be a quad two right now. And that's Sunday at 6:30. Rutgers lost last night to Michigan. So that would be, it's a home game, so that would be a quad two. And the and the irony is, again, it's at this hour. Gonzaga plays St. Mary's tomorrow night in Spokane, right?
Yes. We'll be picking that game in a little bit with the King.
Yeah. Penn State has as many quad one wins as Gonzaga.
How about that? Wow.
Penn State has more quad one wins than St. Mary's. And all this talk about North Carolina, North Carolina, North Carolina, North Carolina. You know what North Carolina's quad one record is this year? 0-9. They host Virginia tomorrow, and there's going to be all this talk about North Carolina, North Carolina, North Carolina, getting to the tournament. They are 0-9 in quad one games this year. Now, Penn State doesn't have the name of North Carolina, and Penn State did have a 4-game losing streak, so please, I'm not... okay. But Penn State has 4 more quad one wins than North Carolina. That's because Penn State has 4 quad one wins. Okay. And North Carolina has none.
And right now, North Carolina, this is as of this morning from Joe Lunardi, last 4 in, first 4 out. So Penn State's the first team out right now. They've actually moved up because they were in the next 4 out last week. Now they're the first team out of the first four. North Carolina is third in the first four out right now.
See, and just so everyone understands, and you know what, I think the world of Joe Lunardi, personally, professionally, because, I mean, Joe's one of the great guys out there. Joe was the analyst for St. Joe's for years.
Okay.
Because he was in the athletic department of St. Joe's. Joe Lunardi is a really smart guy and is a terrific guy. I have not once looked at bracketology this season. I know that people find that hard to believe, but remember, how often did I look at the bowl scenario down the stretch?
Yeah, not till very late. This is actually one of the first times that I've been starting to look at these scenarios myself.
I don't blame anybody for looking at it. I think it's great you're looking at it. I think it's great any fan looks at it. To me, Penn State needs to take care of Penn State. Then, when the Big Ten tournament starts, I will then take a look at it. And I think I said that I would not look at any bowl scenarios for Penn State until they got to the week of the Michigan State game. And that's what I did. I said, okay, let's see where it is. I really hadn't looked at it. Like, okay. Because at that point, all I can do is worry about the one that's in front of me. So today, when I got to work today, I worked on Rutgers. In fact, I finished up a lot of my chart prep for Rutgers about a half hour before the show today. And that's because I can't do anything about what opinions are at this point. All I know is that Penn State needs to win on Sunday. They can't, they're going to be at home. It's a big game for them. I know it's a quad two now because obviously, I'm putting down what Rutgers. I know what Rutgers net is because it's in my prep. Okay, so I'm okay. At 37 means that it's a quad two game because Penn State's at home. SB in the top 30. Right. So I know that going in. Okay, I got it. And because I look up Penn State's net, I know they have four quad one wins and three quad twos right now. So they got seven out of their 17 wins or one or two. All right. It's easy to look at, but in terms of where they fall in the bracket, when Monday rolls around before the Big Ten tournament, if I need to look at it, I will. At that point, I'll look at it and say, okay, what are they going to do this week? Right now, all I know is they need to win Sunday. All the other stuff about whether they're in, out, whatever, okay, they need to win Sunday. Right. And that's how I look at it. Can't control what anybody else does, says. All I know is that Penn State, to keep itself in the running, needs to win.
Just curious, though, as of right now, would the Northwestern game be a quad one on Wednesday?
It absolutely is a quad one.
Okay.
No matter what Northwestern does, they're in the top 75. It's a road game. See, it's top 30, home, 50, neutral, 75 road.
Right.
So
okay.
Northwestern will, no matter what their results are this weekend, will be comfortably in the top 75. So that part's an obvious one. Now, where it becomes trickier are with the home games. Where is, you notice that Rutgers, which a week ago would have been a one, is now a two. Maryland right now would be a one. See, the home games become trickier because you need to be in the top 30. Road games is a little more leeway. So, but And I know who the number one ranked team or the top four seeds are. I saw the story about that. And I did mention UCLA the other day. I could not tell you who the third and fourth seed lines happen to be from the NCAA. I didn't even look at it. I know you find this hard to believe.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
But you think I'm pulling your leg, don't you?
No, I'm used to it by now.
But, I mean, that's a fact. Sorry.
You know, I'm just looking at the conference breakdown since we're having this conversation. It's still kind of stunning for the amount that we've talked about the Big Ten this year. They still have the most in the conference breakdown with 9. Then it's Big 12, SEC with 8 right now in the tournament.
Well, the Big 12 only has 10 schools. There's only so many they can have. I think it's remarkable they would get 80% in. Well, the Big 12's had a huge year. They've been great. I mean, to their credit, they've been great. Yeah. But the game I will watch tomorrow will be St. Mary's and Gonzaga. I definitely, that to me, that's the game I want to watch tomorrow. And it's interesting, Gonzaga is one of those schools, that for whatever reason, Matt, and I'm going to watch the game, right? People want to watch Gonzaga play. Gonzaga averages 670,000 viewers per TV appearance. Now, UCLA is really good, right?
Right, and they were, what, 200,000, I think you said?
200,000.
Yeah. That is pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Right. That's amazing what Gonzaga has done to get people excited about their brand. They've done a great job. Not a good job. They've done a great job with people knowing what their brand is. That's fabulous. You know, they've gone from Cinderella to power. Now, this particular year, St. Mary's might be a little bit better than they are. So, all right. Take a break. I'll say this. It was a fun game last night. In terms of viewing it, it was a fun game.
I'd argue that's the best Big Ten game of the year, in my opinion.
Well, it was a fun game to watch. And I'll give Illinois a lot of credit. Illinois was losing at home 37-19 last night at halftime.
Yeah, that was a big win for them.
And they came all the way back and won the darn thing.
Yep.
And Boo had 35 last night. So, there we go. Man. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Scott Lauber, next half hour. We'll talk baseball with him. King final half hour. Matt's blood pressure down from 206 over 120 back to 120 over 70. Feel so much better. We've calmed you down. You okay?
Bingo!
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.